we're going to be learning the mitzvah of Hashemas Aveda, the mitzvah of returning a lost article you find. So let's see about this mitzvah. In the Torah, if you tell Kofla Mechas, it's found in Pashuk Kitzeitze. It says like this. There's the mitzvah assay, and there's also a los assay. First comes the mitzvah, the Torah said you have to return, to return the item that you found to your brother. And then the next, that's mitzvah tov kuf lamed ches, and mitzvah tov kuf lamed tes. That's ches, and tov kuf lamed tes, then you're not going to hide yourself from the aveda. You see the lost item, can make believe you don't see it. Your friend's animal is straying away, and it's lost. You can't just say make believe you didn't see it. You see something, someone lost something in the shul, someone left something over in the shul. There's a name in it, and even if there's no name in it, if it's in the shul, the person, you know, is not giving up hope for it. This is the mitzvah of returning a lost item.
But what number is it?
Tav kuf lamed ches, tav kuf lamed tes. So Tuf is 400. So this is mitzvah number 538 to 539. Now the there's a positive commandment that the Torah says you have to return. It's also a losas saying where the Torah says you're not allowed to hide your eyes from it. You're not allowed to make believe. You know, we live in America today. People have the attitude of their mind their own business. You're in Chayyad Gimel?
I'm in
Beis. So Beis and this is Gimel that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's for the inconvenience. Okay, so getting back to Mitzvah Tav Kuf Lamed Ches. So in America, the concept people have, how are you? Welcome. Good to see you. The concept that people a lot of times have is minding their own business. That's the American mentality. People like to mind their own business. They see something, say nothing. I know on the trains they say, see something, say something, whatever they say on the trains. But the mentality is, but the Torah mentality is not that way. The Torah mentality is, you have a responsibility. That's the mentality of the Torah. And the Torah says that we have to return if we see our friend lost an item. You have an obligation. The Torah obligates you to get involved. He lost it, you have to help it. He lost it, you have to return it. That's the mitzvah of the Torah of Hashemas Aveda, returning the object that your brother lost. Yes.
Robert, just to avoid the chances of being fined, I heard and saw a couple of times, I heard lately that there's a law in New York City that if a person finds an abandoned object, what might look like a lost object in any place, that they're not allowed to touch it because it's assumed they're taking it for themselves. But if a person picks up something they see, that they can get a ticket for that. And I was downtown once. I dropped a bag of bananas I bought, and I went to pick it up, and then some guy walking the other direction saw me, and he says, is that yours? You know, in a real kind of in a real mean way, and I said yes, and he didn't like that answer.
So let's talk about it in practical terms. You're in a shul. Someone left a coat. Someone left a safer. And you see the safer is there for the next 3 days, right? He left the safer. And his name is inside the safer, right? You're supposed to go ahead and call up the guy. Take the safer, call him up and say, I found your safer. Did you leave the safer? I found the safer. Has your name in it. Right? You're supposed to get involved. Or someone, so you're in a kosher shop, you're in a kosher restaurant, you're a kosher pizza shop or something, and someone leaves something there, and there's a name, there's something there, you're supposed to follow up. You're obligated to get involved. The secular society, the problem of the society outside, they're afraid that people steal. And they say, I thought it was law. I thought, I'm taking this bag. There's a lot of people, most probably, that are thieves. And they sang, I thought someone lost it, that's why I took it. I wouldn't steal. I presume that's why they have such a thing that they say, if you see something, you can't take it. Because they're trying to prevent
that's
people.
That's how I understand the law.
Right. But we're talking about something which is clearly that was lost. Person lost it. You have the mitzvah, you have the obligation to return it. So, there are a lot of things that people leave someplace. People forget things. So you see the language of the chinuch. You know, have you ever forgotten something anywhere?
All the time,
right? And then now. And you forget things, a lot of times, you know, you have your name inside. So it's very clear that the person has the ability to get it back to you. It's not like you left something somewhere, he has no idea where you are, that he's going to track you back.
So funny you mention this, I was reading in the Hamadiya today, just skimming through, like, I don't usually read it, but in the back there's like the classified things. And I was like laughing how silly some things, you know, like someone found a shoe and they posted it there. In like the classified things.
I'm going to tell you that.
Is that an obligation, or is it, I see the guy safer, I know who Chaim is, let me go return to him, or I don't know who he is, let me go try to track him down and try to find him.
But again, let's say, he found him in a place in a Jewish area. Yeah. So obviously if you found him in a Jewish area, see, it's not like you found a shoe in the street.
Yeah.
In an area like Manhattan. If I find a shoe in the street in Manhattan, there's no, you know, the guy definitely gave up hope of ever finding anybody ever, even if there would be a symbol inside, even if there would be a name of a guy in the shoe, he gave up hope from ever getting it back. But let's say the guy was thinking of the inn in the Hamadiya, is his family, he found a shoe in a Jewish area. But the majority of people are Jewish. And there's some sort of symbol on the shoe. The person can identify the shoe. Can I identify maybe the shoe? Could I identify possibly the place where the shoe was found? So by taking out the M in the paper, he's definitely doing, whether he needs to take it out in the paper or not, it's a different question. But it's definitely a beautiful thing. From this thing, a shoe is a very expensive item today.
No,
shoes go everywhere. And
well, a pair of shoes is. One shoe is rather useless.
No, but the other shoe is also, the guy has one shoe and the other shoe. So the guy wants, I don't know that he has to take out the end, and I don't think he has to take out the end of the Hamadiya. You know, he might have to do something, maybe put a public sign in a public place. You know, he should put a public sign in a public place. People should know that such a thing was found, and they should go out and claim it, and identify how they know it's their shoe. The person that lost the shoe has identified it, maybe a size, maybe a color, there are certain things and something distinct about it, you know, and maybe a place, there's different things, and halacha exactly what, in order to make sure that you're returning it to the rightful owner. You can't just say, I found something, someone says, I lost something, okay. You have to make sure that actually you're getting it back to the right owner, and those are the halachas that are discussed regarding that. You know, how you go about it, because you don't want to, there are a lot of people that claim, people say, I found a necklace, there are a lot of people that are looking to claim that necklace that you found, right? They would like to add it to their collection. I mean, a lot of people are not honest. Therefore, you have to be careful, even if you found something in a religious community, you said you found that anywhere, you had a wedding, right? You had a wedding, and you say, anyone lost a necklace or bracelet, it could be $1,000 piece. You can't just go ahead and, they get up at the necklace, found the necklace, basically, if someone comes to you, I lost the necklace, here it is. You can't do that. Because having that's the right for you, he said, I lost the necklace. You announced, you found the bracelet, and he said, I lost the bracelet. I found the ring. The person could take it and go and bye-bye. And boom. You didn't get it to the right owner.
So why don't you say what is the issue? Let's say yeshiva has a lost and found.
Right.
And I was at a yeshiva once, they had a table, six stuff's been here 6 months, it's all hefker. So if I open up a sefer and I see someone's name in there, I have no idea who they are, but obviously belongs to someone who's at the yeshiva. So I have to track them down? Or?
Yeah, I would say, it would sound like to me that you have an obligation to call them up.
So I can't go by the fact that... There was a lost and found there.
Right. See, I would say, all those lost and founds that have names in it, that could you maybe that's not sufficient to put it out on the table. The person forgot that he ever left it there. He came to the yeshiva, I mean, I'm not paschaling the halacha. I'm just saying there's a good reason to say this. I mean, we have to ask the posek. There's a good reason to say a guy comes to the yeshiva. He came to daven mincha at the yeshiva. Stopping by. You're going to put it on the table, so technically you put it on the table, you made an announcement. That's like making an announcement. Again, they put it on the table after they, what did? They had a lost and found.
They would announce, they had a lost and found.
And after 6 months, they
would leave it out for 2 weeks in the public view.
For people to see.
To
get the word out. And it would look, you know, if you listen, it would look, but if the guy had his name in it, why shouldn't people be calling that guy? Maybe the guy's never going to walk in there again. You know, if you're in a yeshiva, you come to every day, right? So there's a good chance you left an umbrella there, right? People leave umbrellas in the yeshiva. You left an umbrella in the yeshiva, so if you put the umbrella on display, you know, maybe you will come to take it. I mean, you have to also know, is that even right policy, just to put things on display? If you found it, maybe the yeshiva should say, you know, something is found. And the rightful owner is supposed to come and claim it with certain simonim. It's not just, you know, just take it. You know what I'm saying? It's not so clear to me that that's the right way to do it. I mean, again, it needs to be kineskaposik, but it would seem to me, if I would have a yeshiva, I think I would say, hey, if we found umbrellas, I don't just put the umbrella out in public display, and then we found lost umbrella. You know, the question is maybe analyze the umbrella. Is there a symbol on the umbrella? Is it something unique? Is there any imitations, any marks that people could say that they could identify that umbrella with? You know, sometimes what I do is I write my initials on my umbrella.
But usually there's no identification on any umbrella.
But I'm saying, where did you leave it in the yeshiva? You left it at a certain corner of the yeshiva? So the best thing is, a lot of times people do, is they just, if somebody has no sermon in the yeshiva, just leave it where you found it. If you found an umbrella in the yeshiva, so a lot of times people will leave it, the person will put it there, the person will come back, because if there's no sermon on it, how is the guy going to identify it? If you leave it there, if you're still in the yeshiva, you left the umbrella where the guy left, you see there for a week, the same umbrella's in the same spot. So I would think you leave it in the spot and hopefully the guy will come back. But if there's a name on that umbrella, there's a name on the coat, there's a name inside the hat, there's a name inside the safer, it would seem to me, we have an obligation to call that man up. I have your name. The other question is, you know, technically, is there a possibility that the guy whose name is inside the item was the original owner, or maybe he sold it to somebody else? Okay, you have to look at it from a halachic perspective. Are we concerned about that? Are we not concerned about that? But I would think that we would go by the name, and it would seem to me that we would go by that name inside the hat. We'd call the guy up and say, this is what was found, you know. That's really the way I would say to do it. Because the way the chinuch explains the mitzvah, he says, the root behind this mitzvah of returning a lost object to your fellow brother, things being forgotten is a common thing. Everyone forgets. And then he says, sometimes the animals run away and they're lost. Return the animal. And because of this mitzvah, he says, the animals and the utensils that are all over, wherever they are in our country, it's as if the owner is, it's under the hand of the owner. Because we have such a society, God has created such a system of responsibility for one's items that you have to respond to return your friend's item. So even though if we're living in a Jewish neighborhood, my animal's running around, and we're living in a Jewish neighborhood, and certain items of mine are not under my hand, because I forgot where I put it. I can be sure it's safe. I don't have to worry. Do you ever worry about something that's in your house? You have something in your house and you can't find it.
Oh sure.
You ever worry about? You know it's safe.
You know it's safe, but sometimes...
But you know it's in your house. You don't have to worry about it.
Sometimes you lose something and it turns up at home, which is nice, but you don't know where it is until it turns up.
But if you know it's in your house, you don't worry about it. So it's supposed to be that the Jewish community is supposed to be one big house in that sense. You should be confident that that it's under control. And that's what the chinuch explains. You know, some say, you know, the Torah says you have to return physical items to people. So, you know, when you go in and you bring the person back, you know, bringing him to Torah, to mitzvahs, is also a type of returning the person to where he's supposed to be. If, you know, if we have to return items, certainly we have to return, you know, people, you know, so obviously you have to return people if people are lost, you have to make, you know, return them back to their place. Obviously they're not just lost physically, some will say extend it to lost spiritually, also isn't this an idea, yes.
A Jewish town, like a big house, don't they say if money, if we leave, I mean,
well, money, like, so money is one of the things that don't have a simit. But it depends also, you know, yes, what do you say, Yitzhak?
In other words, and the mission talk about people. I mean, if the Jewish community is one big house, then why wouldn't we just give them the fancy necklace?
Because the Torah wants it to be one house, but at the same time, that's what the Torah instructs us, but at the same time, there's always a concern of a Rami. There's always a concern that there's a person within the community that's not as honest as he should be, not as God-fearing as he should be, and maybe has let his desires for money overtake him. Because, you know, everyone has, God has given everyone the ability to choose to make the right decisions, and sometimes people make the wrong decisions in life.
Right.
And therefore we have to protect the real owner. The Torah wants us to protect the real owner and making sure you have to answer, you know, that you should, when you return an item, to make sure you're really returning it to the rightful owner.
Yes, sir.
We were talking last week with the tattooing.
Yes.
And at what point is it, you committed the aver and that's it, as opposed to... Continuous
sin.
Like chometz or something. It's always in your possession.
Right. As long as chometz is in possession, there's a continuous sin.
So if, let's say I open the book, I see the same as Rabbi Friedman, say, oh, I'll see him tomorrow. And I put it on my bookshelf, I forget about it for 2 months. What's the status? Have I stolen the book from you now?
You have the intent to return the book, to return the sefer. So you've been lax in your diligence in the performance of the mitzvah. You have that mitzvah opportunity because you picked up the sefer and had his name in it. But it's like any other mitzvah. It would seem to me that it would be like any other mitzvah opportunity that you had. But you have to return it, and you did not. You did not execute what you need, the obligation that was on you. You have delayed. You know, we have a mitzvah to put up shul in the morning, right? So, you know, technically, it's fair to say that the first opportunity to do the mitzvah, you should do the mitzvah. Shouldn't delay. Why should you delay the mitzvah? And the mitzvah you have the opportunity to do it, you know, right away. Okay, obviously if people delay the mitzvah, if they're davening at a certain minyan, but for a certain reason, it might be a valid reason why you want to daven at a certain minyan that might not be the right after you wake up in the morning.
What if let's say I find someone's tefillin?
Right.
Forget about it. It's sitting in my car for a week.
You found it somewhere, you found it in the street, someone's tefillin, let's say. Whatever.
There's a name in it.
No, no, sorry, I know who's it is.
And he lost and you didn't notify him.
No, let's say he left it in shul, so I took it from him and I forgot and I whatever. For some reason.
He should have taken it, right? If it wasn't shul. You should leave it there.
Okay.
You should leave it there because it's safe. Generally safe, unless it's a shul that's not safe.
So the mitzvah, when you're saying with the it's only if it's in a safe place, you should leave it there.
Yeah, we said if it's in a safe place, and we said if it's in a place, if the guy put it there, right? If the guy, how are you? Welcome. Come on. Sit there. If the guy put it there, right, why should, he's going to come back for it, there's no need to take it. It's not lost. Something the guy clearly put there, the question is if he forgot it. If it's clear that he's not coming back, for some reason he's not coming back for it. He forgot it. Right, like people, I think the good case is the guy forgot, the guy went to, you see a lot of, in the pizza shop, people bring a safer in the pizza shop, they bring tefillin into the pizza shop, and now it's forgotten. No one's going to leave tefillin 2 days in the pizza shop. Right, so, and then you find tefillin there. You found it in the pizza shop, right? We went to the pizza shop, the guy finds tefillin in the pizza shop, and then 2 days in a row, what are you going to do?
So I should take it in the pizza shop.
Really, definitely should call up the guy. There's a name on it. You should call up the guy.
But if I take it in the pizza shop, I forget to get it back to him. And then
the guy comes into the, remembers that he finally remembered there was a pizza when he came into the pizza shop.
No, I'm not liable. Let's say if he can't daven, my negligence. Now he can't daven for 3 days. He's going crazy for 3 days.
Yeah, you didn't do the sin of not davening. The question you might have you fact. You know, you might be, you know, the held, it might be held against you that you caused the person, made it difficult for a person, to make it difficult for him to daven because you took something and you weren't diligent getting it back then. Again, the reason, you always have to be careful when you take something. If you take something that by taking it you're going to cause more harm than good, then don't take it. You see what I'm saying?
It's like, there's a concept like I'm studying for the bar now in tort law. Like what happens if I take it? I'm trying to do you a favor. I see a tefillin in the pizza shop. I have it in my car, and it's destroyed somehow in my possession. Am I liable to you for the tefillin? Or I take it from you. I put it in my bag.
So the Gemara has a whole discussion. What is Shomer Aveda, a person who watches a lost item? What status does he have? Does he have a status of a Shomer Chinam? Do you have a status of a Shomer Socha? Does he have a status of a watchman who doesn't get paid? And therefore, he's liable only for negligence? Let's say, you know, you left the car door open. You know, if anybody could come and take it. That's negligence. I would count that in the negligence. If you left the car door locked and a guy goes in and breaks into the car, that would not be negligence. You would be exempt according to that opinion of the Shomer Aveda. The Gemara in Baba Kama in the Perek HaKone says in our discussion, we have to look up in Halacha exactly who, how do we paskin, or does he have a status of a Shomer Socha, like a watchman who's getting paid, and therefore if it's stolen, he's responsible. So there's a difference of opinion in Jewish in the Talmud. What status of a person who watches a lost object, who is guarding a lost object, what status does he have? What levels of responsibility does he have? That the Gemara discusses your question. It's a very good question. Right? You're welcome, Gabe. We're discussing the mitzvah, the obligation to return a lost object to your fellow Jew, if you find it. So getting back to the mitzvah of Hashemah Saveda, there's a whole discussion. If a Kohen, if you look at the Minchas Chinuch and Sif Beis, if a Kohen saw a lost item in a cemetery, as we know, a Kohen is not allowed to make himself tamei, to make himself, defile himself to a by a cemetery, make himself tameh. And if he sees a lost object in the cemetery, is he allowed to go into the cemetery to pick up the lost object with the intent to fulfill the mitzvah of returning the lost object? So we have certain things going, we have certain face-offs going against each other over here. On the one hand, there's an obligation to return an object, which is a mitzvah asei. On the other hand, he's going against this mitzvah's positive commandment. It's going against a lo sasei. The Torah says, "Nefesh lo yitamei ba'amov." The Torah says that a kohen is not allowed to make himself tamei. And that's a lo sase. And also the Torah says, kedoshim tiyu. He has to be holy, and that's a positive commandment, which means he's not allowed to make himself tamei. Now he'll defile himself by going into a cemetery. So now he has, on the one hand, he has a positive commandment to remain clean, not to make himself tamei. And there's a lo sase. So you have an asay, a positive commitment of returning an object, which is one mitzvah, going against an asay and a los asay. So the rule is, an asay, a positive commitment, can knock out a los asay if those two have to come at the same time. And there are certain rules, when does an asay, a positive commitment, if it's a faced off against a los asay, when the Torah says that to do something, and the Torah says somewhere else, don't do something else, and they're face off against each other. For instance, you have a garment made out of linen, and the Torah gave this a mitzvah by tzitzis, it's a mitzvah of tcheles, a blue string, which is made out of wool. We don't have, most people say we don't know where's tcheles today, and we don't, therefore most people don't wear tcheles today. There are some people that wear tcheles, they think they found the fish where the tcheles comes from, but most people don't wear blue. Most people, I don't know, in Sydney, Australia, do they wear tcheles?
Some people, not many.
Some people do, some people don't. And
what have the Gedolim said about the tcheles?
It's a discussion. There's a lot written on it. Many of the Gedolim have said. I mean, it would seem that the majority of the opinion says that, you know, since we don't have a clear Mesorah, Kabbalah, we don't have a clear tradition that what they're claiming today is the Tcheles, is the right one, so they don't, most of them don't wear Tcheles. If you find some Gedolim that wear it, great, you know, you have to follow whoever your rabbi is, that's what most people will follow. The Aruch HaShulchan has a discussion about it. I would recommend take a look at the Aruch HaShulchan, Hilchos Tzitzis. He discusses in depth a little bit about this. He quotes about a certain Gadol said that he found the Tcheles. He discusses this in the Aruch HaShulchan, but what I recall, he didn't buy it.
There's no discussion on the Gemara about the actual fish and what the...
There's a discussion about it, but... It's been many years that we haven't, there's a long period of time that they did not have it. That's the given, pretty much the given. The question is, was it found?
Pastor, yes. You off topic, but it's a Torah prohibition for Kohen to become...
Torah prohibition, you call it?
No.
It's a Torah prohibition for Torah to make himself tamei, to defile himself, to make himself tamei, to go into a cemetery, go to a funeral, attend the funeral inside the chapel where there's a tent, where there's an oil, where there's a tent that's enclosed.
But for family, you're allowed to go to
a certain family. There's several family members that he's able to, certain family members, certain family members he's allowed, like a father.
But he would allow the
daughter, son.
Becoming tummy.
Right. The Torah says that's when he should become tummy. The Torah says, to the average person, he can't make himself tamei. Then the pasuk says, but to certain specific people, he should make himself tamei. And you could say some would learn it's an obligation to make himself tamei. It's a mitzvah to make himself tamei to those people. Those close relatives, his father, his mother, his brother, his sister that was never married, his son, his daughter, his wife, those people, he's obligated to make himself tamei. He can't say, I'm a Kohen. I'm a Kohen. I can't make... No. He has to make himself tummy to that. That's the only funerals that he'll attend.
So what if there's a... Let's say there's a cemetery with one grave in it, and it's the grave of an undisputed tzaddik. A Kohen goes there.
Why should a Kohen go there? I mean, some people, there's discussions, is it tzaddik with Tama or not, but generally it's a Kohen shouldn't go to such a place. Shouldn't go to such a place. Unless his rabbi says he should go there. Unless the rabbi says he can go there, he should not be going to any place where there is dead bodies.
Is there a discussion? Why is that still held? If there's no Beis HaMikdash, there's no...
The mitzvah applies at all times. Meaning, there's certain mitzvahs that apply only the time of the Beis HaMikdash. There's certain mitzvahs that apply. We can sacrifice. We have no temple. We can't bring a sacrifice. There are other mitzvahs that apply all the time. Certainly applies today too.
Davening
Saint Krishma tonight. Davening Ma'ir Saint Krishma applies tonight. What?
But why the other halachas for becoming impure not following? Why are they just related to Kohen?
So, repeat the question. Why is which?
The Kohens are only required to
prevent themselves from making tameh.
But for other, falls under another category where they technically be tameh.
Someone who falls under that category. Wait a minute. Someone else. The average person in relation to the Kohen, the Kohen can't make himself tummy to that average person?
Let's say someone has an omission or something.
Omission.
So that's like a seminal omission.
Right.
It would be tummy.
Right.
But no one cares about that now.
Because that's not the Torah never said, never obligated the person to, if a guy wants to remain not, he wants to make tummy, that the Torah did not forbidding for a person to come. I mean, a person gets married, he's tamei. He becomes tamei because he's with his wife. Right? So the Torah only said about the Kohanim. The Kohanim, of course, the Kohanim get married. We're not like the, but it's a different level of tumah. It's a different type of tumah. There's different levels of tumah. There's different types of becoming tumah. There's tumah because a person was with his wife. There's one type of thing that becomes tumah. But there's another one called tumas mace, becoming tumah with a dead body, with a corpse. That's a different thing. It's different types of tumah. It's different levels of tumah. It's totally, it's different categories. So specifically, the Torah never said that a person should not be with his wife, so to speak, because he's going to become tummy as a result of that.
But if the Torah says something, and then it also gives rectification for it, someone should, let's say, you should leave the camp for...
The Torah says...
Let's say washing of clothes or immersing the mikvah. Why is that today? If those are things someone can do, why was it would not be relevant?
Because the things, if we would be dealing with kutchin, if we would have kutchin today, we'd have certain things, if we'd have sacrifice today, so there the Torah said, you can't make the sacrifice tameh. But the Torah never said, if a person wants to make his food tameh, if I want to take an animal which is a sheretz, let's say if I take an animal that could make, that has the ability to make something else, make some food tummy. Let's say, and if I want to go in and take that animal and I want to put that dead animal on a food, there's no restriction. There's no deterrent. The Torah never gave us a law that said we can't make something. I want to make the liquid tummy. I want to make the soda tummy. Torah never said I can't take one of those animals that have the ability, let's say a dead animal, a nevela, right? So the Torah never said that. Well, we have to give it to the Shmona Shvatzim. You say the Torah never said we can't make certain things tamei. The Torah said that the Kohen can't make. The Torah said a Kohen can't make himself tamei. Can't make himself tummy. What type of tumah? Tumas mace. He can't go to a spare cemetery.
So if he would today,
So he goes through something, then he violated one of the mitzvahs of the Torah. He violated two problems. He violated the Torah, says he's now allowed to defile himself. And also the Torah says he was supposed to be kadoshim, he was supposed to be holy, and he didn't do that.
And there's no rectification for it now.
There's no rectification for it. The main thing is he shouldn't do it. The rectification is that he should not do it again.
But in
that's the tshuva. The tshuva is, you do something wrong once, you don't do it again. You don't make the same mistake again. That's what he's supposed to do. He's not supposed to make it. The fact that he made a mistake, he went to one funeral or one cemetery, he should not go to the next cemetery. Finish. He should stop doing that type of act. And he repents, that he feels bad. You know, when the laws of tshuva of repentance, then that'll be fine. God will forgive him.
But it wouldn't affect his whatever limited status a Kohen would have now, responsibilities.
It will not affect him. He's not bringing sacrifices. He's not bringing korbanos today. Right, it will not affect him as a Kohen today. You want anybody else to say anything? Okay. So, regarding this, if he saw this lost item in the cemetery, so the Rambam says that he does not go ahead into the cemetery to pick up this lost item. He leaves it there. Because the positive commandment of returning the item does not supersede the lowest assay and assay of not making himself tumah, not defiling himself. Now we said, the general rule is, we said there's a concept called an assay is docha los assay. The positive commandment has the power to knock out a los assay, a negative, when it says don't do something. What's the example? So we were saying about the tcheles. The tcheles, the blue wool, is the Torah said when you take tzitzis, you're supposed to also put, you have to be of a string of blue, a special blue wool called tcheles. If you have a linen garment, right, and there's a prohibition called shatness of mixing linen. So if you go ahead and you put the tcheles, the blue string, into the linen garment, so what do you have? A mixture of wool and linen.
And that would be considered shatness?
Yeah, because you wove it in. You wove it in.
It's not technically connected to the garment.
Yeah, but the string.
That would be considered connected.
If you tied it in, that's called connected. So let's give show and tell, right? This is tied in, right? If I would have a string over here, which was made out of blue wool, and this garment would be linen, so and I tied it in, so that makes this attaches the two. So that would be a problem of shatness. Yet I'm allowed to wear on a linen garment, I could have a string of wool of tcheles. I could wear that. I could have this wool string on a garment made out of linen. Why? Because the positive commandment of tzitzis supersedes, knocks out the los assay that the Torah says you can't wear wool and linen together. But an assay is coming against the other los assay, and Tosos and Tzuvos, I think on that mem, explains that he's going to ask a question. We have a rule: if you could fulfill both without transgressing the los assay, so if it's called efshel kain shnei, we won't allow you to do the mitzvah to go against the los assay if you're able to fulfill both without knocking each other out. So he'll also say, why should I wear a linen garment? You tell the guy only wear a wool garment. And therefore, I don't have to technically transgress the prohibition of shanis by wearing the wool tzitzis, because tell the guy, buy only wool garments. So Tosu said that's called efshe. To tell the guy that the only thing you have to wear is wool, that's not called, we don't consider that within the realm of possibility of, you know, you're able to do both. And therefore, we consider the person has a right to wear linen. And to tell a guy that he can't wear linen by itself, that's not called, that's too that's not called that it's that you're able to fulfill both mitzvahs, and therefore, in a certain sense, you have two things opposing each other. You have a right to wear a linen garment, and at the same time, you're obligated to wear tchelos, blue wool. So the Torah tells you, and the Torah puts the two mitzvahs together. The Torah puts the mitzvah of shatnez next to the mitzvah of tzitzis, and we learn out from there that your tzitzis, a positive commandment, will when it goes against a rosafe, it will overpower it. There are a lot of rules about this. You know, that doesn't there are certain rosafe, there are certain things the Torah says don't do that carry very more serious punishments than other things. Some rosafes carry the kares penalty. Some rosafes carry the capital punishment penalty. So those things, in that say a positive command, would not be able to supersede a powerhouse rosafe that carries such strong punishments. Is that clear? But certain, the average rosafe, which might carry with it the punishment of malchus of lashes, so the say has the power to knock that out. Is that clear?
Yeah.
Everyone's following? Yes.
No. Since Rabbi Friedman used the example of careless with a linen garment, does that mean that the other tzitzis could be made of linen and not wool?
Okay, so that we have to look into the chassidus more details about those streams.
So if I'm in a store with a friend, he doesn't want to wear a wool tzitzis. So there's a cotton one and there's a linen one, and he goes for the linen one. I said, what are you wearing? I can't tell him. Why would you do that when you can get the cotton one? Why would you get the linen one when there's going to be wool tzitzis on it? There's nothing wrong with him getting the linen one.
But there are different issues today. There are different issues because we have the mix of tzitzis only applies by day, not by night. Right? There are different opinions regarding if you have a day garment, you wear a day garment at night, if a day garment at night is obligated in tzitzis or not. There are different opinions on that. Some opinions say the only time you're obligated in the midst of tzitzis is by daytime. At night, there's no obligation of tzitzis. So, according to that opinion, right, there's a problem if you have a linen garment with the tchelos string. See, first of all, today, what's your first name again?
Joseph,
we don't have a tchelos today. So, you can't have wool strings on the linen garment because the Torah, you could put linen strings on a linen garment. Meaning if you have to, the Torah always said you have obligated to put the wool string of tchelos.
So only the tchelos has to be wool.
Only the tchelos has to be wool.
So if I have a linen garment and I put wool tzitzis on it, I am guilty of shatnez.
Correct. And even in the time when, even if you, there's another issue, concern, you have to just be aware, if you would have a linen garment, even with the tchelos, you have to just be careful. There's a concern you have to know about what do you do at nighttime. Because if you wear that at night, when there's no obligation of tzitzis, so then you could be, the only time that the mitzvah of tzitzis, of tchelos, could supersede shatnez is when it's the time of the mitzvah. But what about right after the time of the mitzvah is gone? If it's nighttime, if there's no mitzvah, so what right do you have to wear that garment that has shatnez? So you get into other issues. So therefore, we say that the mitzvah of, so that idea that we find that a positive commandment could supersede a los assay, that's only if the assay is going against a los assay, as we find by tchelos, in tzitzis. There's a positive commitment of wearing tzitzis. We'll call it tcheles. And there's a little sasei, don't wear shatnez. So when they battle of the two, the asay supersedes. But what about if the asay is going against a loose asay and an asay? That not only is it battling against a loose asay, it's battling against a loose asay and an asay. For instance, it's a mitzvah to return a lost item. Right? The Torah obligates the seeds on responsibility for our fellow brothers. If you left anything, I'm responsible for to return it to you, right? I have an obligation, right? But if it's going against a lo sase and an ase, there's a lo sase by the Kohen. The Kohen is not allowed to make himself tummy. This is the nefesh lo yitam b'amok. And it's also the mitzvah of kedushim to you. He has to be holy. So the ase of returning the aveda, of the returning the lost item, does not have the power to knock out both a low sasei and an assay. And therefore, the halacha will be, don't go into the cemetery to return that item. Stay out of the cemetery. The question in the Rishonim is, what about if he went into the cemetery and he took the item? Do we say that the assay, the positive commitment, and he took it and he returned it? So on the one hand, in a certain way, you say he fulfilled the mitzvah. Do we say that the mitzvah of returning the item knocked out the lo sasei, but it didn't knock out the asei?
What is the
asei? The asei here is kedushim to you. The kohen has to be holy.
That's everyone.
Everyone, but it's a specific. Obviously, we learn out the specific referring to the Kohen in his level of his Kedusha. I mean, the Torah also says, you have to look in the Pesukim, but there's a special Kedusha to you that we learn out for the Kohanim, you have to be made holy. So does the positive commandment, even though it can't knock out both, but does it accomplish one of the two? Does it accomplish the regular knocking out the Los Asay? Who do we say that? You know, should the Kohen receive Malkus for making himself tameh? Right? Would he receive lashes? Do we say he doesn't receive any lashes because the low sasei of not becoming tameh was knocked out by the mitzvah sasei, the positive commandment of returning the object, so he doesn't get malchus? Or do we say that since the assay can't knock out both, it doesn't knock out any? So that's the question in the Rishonim. The other question is a large discussion is in the Rishonim, is this idea that an assay, positive commandment, has the power to knock out a low assay, a commandment that says don't do, that's only if they're coming at the same time. They're coming at the same time. You have tzitzis and shatnez. While you're wearing the garment, while you're fulfilling the mitzvah of tzitzis, you are not, the mitzvah of tzitzis is working at the same time when it's knocking out the prohibition of not to wear woolen linen together. It's happening at the same time, simultaneously. You're filling the mitzvah of tzitzis, you have the tcheles, and at the same time you have the tcheles into your garment, you also have what? You have the tcheles in your garment, you also have the shatness at the same time. So the shatness is being hit, direct hit, boom. The shatness is being hit. So if the shatness is being hit, when the shatness comes, when the prohibition of wearing shatness comes to being, it's being attacked. It's under attack. It's under attack by the mitzvah of tcheles. This is under attack. So it could, you can knock it out. But what about if it's not under attack at the same time? Let's say you fulfilled the you're doing the mitzvah before. Or the mitzvah is happening later. That then you can't say it knocks out the low sashay. Every time you can knock out the low sashay, that the positive commandment could knock out the low sashay if the positive commandment is going up at the same time. It's face to face. But if it's not face to face, if it's not at the same time, it will not be able to knock it out. So the Rishonim ask, the Gemara says, why does the Gemara say that if I have the positive commandment of returning a lost object, it cannot knock out the losasay of a Kohen making himself Tameh? If the Kohen finds himself near a cemetery, nearby, right outside a cemetery, he's not allowed to go into the cemetery to return the lost item because he's going to be going against two things. Because he's going against the prohibition, he's not going to make himself Tameh, and also he has to remain Tahar. He's going against a low sashay and an assay, and the positive can't knock out a negative and a positive, right? A positive can knock out a negative, but a positive can't knock out a negative and a positive. The question is, even if there would not be an assay by the Kohen in the cemetery, the Kohen, if there would only be a low sashay, if let's say the Kohen, the Torah would have only said he's not allowed to make himself Tameh, without telling us that he has to be Kedoshim, still, that we should, still, still, what should we say? The assay, the mitzvah assay, the positive commandment of returning the item is not happening at the same time that it's not going up against the low sase at the same time. It would not even be able to knock out the low sase. Why would Hashem have made up a knock? Let's say the mitzvah sase, return an item. The Torah says don't make yourself tameh. If that would be the only two on the table, would the returning of the item supersede the making yourself tameh? From the rule of assay docha lo assay, that's what it seems from the Gemara, the rule of a positive commandment of returning an item, if it would be going against don't make himself tummy, it should have knocked it out. But the question is, why should it knock it out? Is it happening at the same time or not? The second he walks into the cemetery, he becomes what? Tummy. When does he get the mitzvah of returning the item? When he returns it. So is it happening simultaneously? Is he knocking? Is the prohibition of making himself Tomei being knocked at the second he walks into the cemetery? Is it being overcharged with a positive commandment? Well, there's no positive commandment yet that came into place yet.
What if the person is standing 2 feet into the cemetery, and immediately when he walks in, he hands it off to him?
Okay. If we could create such a situation, we could create such a situation. But this is the question that's asked. But generally speaking, if he saw it in the cemetery, generally speaking, it would sound like that it's... And generally speaking, is the owner... You know, the question is... See, the question is, what is the mitzvah? What is the positive commandment of returning an item? When does the mitzvah come into place? Is the mitzvah the second you see the item that's lost? Is the mitzvah now began? You have the positive commandment is upon you, and you have to get involved. And the Torah says you're not allowed to hide yourself. That's a low sasei. But is the mitzvah of returning has begun now? You have to get you have the obligation to. When you see an item and you don't return it, do we say you also violated the obligation of returning the item? Or is the obligation of returning the item not fulfilled? You only violated if you picked it up and you didn't give it back to the guy. Your case. So that's a discussion also. How do you identify the mitzvah of returning the item? The question is, when the Kohen goes into the cemetery, do we look at it that he's already going into the cemetery with the idea to pick up the item? Is that cause he's already involved in the mitzvah of returning the item? And therefore, that's a powerful battery that's knocking against the low sase of making himself tameh? Or is that, would you look at it only as a preparation? So if it's looked at as only a preparation, preparations will not knock out a low sase. A preparation of a mitzvah We're not knocked out when Torah says don't do something else. For instance, cutting a ruler from a tree. You're permitted to take a ruler. If you cut a ruler from a tree, is that preparation of cutting the ruler in order to take the ruler and binding it? Would that cutting of the ruler, would that knock out a lo saseh? If let's say there would be some sort of lo saseh regarding that tree, regarding cutting that tree. If let's say there'd be some sort of lo saseh making that cut, would you say that you know what, I'm involved in the lulav, I'm cutting the lulav. So that when I cut the lulav, that's a mitzvah. Would you say that's the mitzvah of lulav that will knock out the lo saseh, if there would be entailed the lo saseh on the cutting of the lulav? You would not say that. Because that's too far removed from the actual mitzvah of lulav. So the question is, how do you look at it? So the Ron says that they're going into the cemetery, that in itself is like part of the, I think the Ron says that's like part of the mitzvah. Since that's part of the mitzvah, the involvement in the mitzvah, the language of the Ron. The mitzvah begins when you see the Aveda. Whatever you do from the time you see the Aveda, that's called a part of the mitzvah. And therefore, that's why it would knock it out. The reason why it doesn't knock it out, because it can't knock out a lo saseh and an aseh. Okay.